You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Matt Chandler, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dehati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey there, friends. This is the New Churches Podcast. I'm Clint Clifton, and I'm joined with Noah Oldham and Kathy Litton. Noah is the founding pastor of August Gate Church, and he also works as the senior director of church planting deployment at the North American Mission Board for the Send Network. And he's responsible for getting church planters equipped and out on the church planting field. He and his wife, Heather, have five children. They live in St. Louis. And Kathy Litton leads the spouse development team for the Send Network. And she's married to Ed. Ed leads Redemption Church in Mobile, Alabama, and they have six children and they have 11 grandchildren. Before we get started today on our conversation about pastoring at home, I want to tell you about a resource that we have. It's called Five Markers of a Healthy Church Planting Wife, or of Healthy Church Planting Wives. Kathy, you were part of putting this book together. You want to tell us where the idea of the book came from and how it can help?
Sure. We just kind of identified five features that really, when they're in place, when those features are in place, it really is a signal of the health of the planting wife. And one is their own personal spiritual formation. The other is living in authentic community, their emotional health, their capacity and their willingness to participation of engaging loss and just resilience in ministry. So there's kind of the five chapters right there. But when those things are in place, Clint, it really can reflect the health of a planting wife. And so it's an easy to read ebook. It's not very complicated. We have a multitude of voices in there that speak into it for each chapter. And so I really recommend that women pick that up and read it. I think it'd be helpful for them.
Okay. Thank you very much for taking the time to put that together. And we're excited to be able to offer that totally free on the New Churches, on newchurches.com. And Noah, let's start with you. Talk to us about what makes a church planting couple thrive from your point of view.
Oh man, I think both a unity and a clarity. First, a unity of calling. We're called to this together. God has called us as a family to plant this church. It's not just one or the other. Now, we all have our varied roles and our varied giftings as members of the body of Christ, but we are doing this together, not only as a husband and wife, but as a whole family, but also a clarity of what does this mean for every area of our lives. I think when couples aren't thriving, when my wife and I are not thriving in ministry, it's because there's a lack of clarity as we move into a new season. We're thrown a curveball by life circumstances, and we've not taken the time to discuss what does this mean for every area of life, specifically our home life. So unity and clarity, I think, help every church planting couple thrive.
Kathy, you've been a church planter's wife, and you've supported lots and lots of church planters' wives. Ever since I've known you, you've been doing that. What are common struggles that you see church planting families facing?
Well, I've got three that I kind of want to briefly share. And the first two are kind of, the first one is balance and boundaries, which are kind of words that are fiction, just to be real honest with you. They're just sheer fiction there, that it does kind of seem like a myth. And there are seasons in the planning process where finding the balance and finding boundaries is really, really hard to do. And yet, while that is true, planning couples still have to work to fight for that balance and fight for some boundaries along the way and what that looks like. Because as my colleague Noah knows, when these things are ignored over the long haul, it will be destructive to their marriage, to their witness, to their relationship with their children, and to their church plans. So the first one is balance and boundaries. The other is financial pressure. And I'm sure there's some of our planning couples that have less and more of this than others, but many of these are younger families. They've got mouths to feed, and often they're in places with a high cost of living. And so there's not a lot of extra money. And those can be issues that really can, that families actually deal with every single day. Mm. The other one is maybe their school choices. We've just previously talked about this, but when we're planting churches in certain parts of the country or certain parts of a city, school choices for their family may be really hard for them to find. And especially in this day and time when there's a social agenda in so many schools and public schools. So I think these are some realities that a planning wife, these three in particular, yeah, are going to really, really affect her and make her feel pretty vulnerable and a lot of anxiety around these.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the, I mean, each of those we could comment on, but the financial one specifically, I think we're, you know, we're seeing in what, on one hand, there's more support for church planting than there's ever been. I feel like people are generous with church plants and church planters. Churches are more open to the possibility of supporting planters. There are more avenues for support. But it's just increasingly complicated for a church planter to fully fund his church planting work. Church plants take a long time to root and establish. Our cities, the places where many of our church planters are working, are just incredibly expensive. I mean, mm-hmm, people with normal everyday jobs are still side hustling. And then they've got two income families and things
That's right.
I mean, yeah, it's just increasingly just unrealistic to imagine a church planter making enough money from outside support that he's going to be able to survive and lead his family in a place like that. And so that creates all kinds of stress. I mean, you know, how have you seen church planting families? Like, there's a variety of ways that I can think of that I've seen church planting families sort of try to head that off. What are you guys seeing church planting families doing? How are they releasing the pressure on that, those that are being fruitful?
I don't know that they're actually releasing the valve on that very well at all. I think that's why Kathy brings it up as one of the very top issues of stress, because you either take the almost full-time job of fundraising in those early years, or you take on a second job that sometimes has emphasis in your mission field. It's for bivocational guys, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's just completely time away from the work that God's called you to. So I tell church planters, you got a full-time job either way. You're either going to be spending part of your time raising funds or part of your time working another job. And these early years, there's so much pressure there to take time away from the home. What I found for myself and for most church planters is they're willing to sacrifice for the mission of God. And what they don't realize is they're not just sacrificing themselves, they're sacrificing their wife and their kids. And if there's not that clarity and that unity that we're all in this together, that's when things begin to get an opportunity for bitterness. We've not decided on this together. And my kids, you know, I didn't sign up for this, maybe. Those kinds of situations are really hard. We got to look out for them.
Yeah. There's this popular idea out there that pastors are supposed to be both pastors in the church, but pastors at home too. Sometimes being a pastor can feel at odds with being a dad and a husband, though. Is it helpful, in your opinion, for a pastor to think about himself as pastor dad?
I'm going to let Kathy share her wealth of knowledge from this subject. She really does speak to this with great wisdom. I'll just share my short experience. I've been a husband for 17 years, and I've been a father for almost 13 of those years. And every single day of it, I've been in full-time ministry. And so I don't know anything else besides that, but I do know this. When I think of pastor dad or thought about that early on as a husband or as a father, what I thought was teaching. All about teaching and discipling. What I realized even recently, my wife has helped me to understand this, is she doesn't need me to be her personal Bible study leader. Sometimes she does. What she needs me to be is a shepherd that listens intently and with compassion. My kids need that. What I've found is I'm really comfortable with my gift set being the prophet teacher of our family and not so much the shepherd evangelist, the one who's evangelizing and sharing the gospel and the good news with them. And without knowing it, I've had to be told by my wife a few times, hey, we need you to shepherd us like you shepherd other people. We need you to care for them like you care for us. And it's hard to hear, but it's a great reminder that that's the call. That's the first concept right there in the home.
Well, Noah mentioned the talk I give at orientation for our planners, you know, that are coming to one of their first visits for some of them in the building at NAM. And I've drawn a lot of thoughts from Barnabas Piper and, you know, in his book, The Pastor Kid. And he just said to, and you know, one of the quotes I used, that talking to your children is more important than your sermon. Now that can be an offensive to a pastor, and it can be, but he's making a statement that I believe that pastors do need to pay attention to, because pastors' homes typically are organized around dad's life. And it's unintentional, but that dominates everything. And too often kids see his life as trumping everything, maybe not going to a baseball game and, you know, their own kids' baseball games, things like that. So I think there's the intentionality that we do, but the unintentional is that we don't even send the signal that their worlds really, really, really matter enough. Yeah. And let's be honest, we know this now, that more important than a devotion at the house is just the spiritual reality that's at that house.
That's right.
Those can be the same thing, or they may not be the same thing. And if they're not the same thing, then you have a problem. You see glaring inconsistency, and none of us do this perfectly. None of us. If you haven't apologized to your children for some bad behavior, you know, at some point, then maybe you're not being as honest as you need to be. But the environment in that house, the spiritual reality, has to be believable to your children.
Wow. Yeah. I've never heard it quite articulated like that. That's really helpful, Kathy. Kathy, while we're talking about this, if a church planting wife began to sense that her husband's, you know, service to Christ and the church was in some way harmful to the family, how do you think it would be wise for her to proceed?
I mean, she has to speak the truth and love to him. And you know, and at that point, I think you two guys know that after that, it's on him. You know, how he responds will be a big indicator. And if she's telling him the truth, and either through his self-deception lens or just pride, or maybe his offense that she confronted him, he fails to look at that, that won't be a good sign. Right, but if she can lovingly and honestly talk to him about a situation that she feels like can cause harm in their family, in their marriage, or with their children, you know, that guy needs to listen to her. She may not be 100% correct. We know that, but that should be, open up a conversation that leads to far more conversation and maybe some outside help along the way. And I would just say to any women that may be listening, if you've dealt with a long-term pattern with your husband and you've never confronted him because you were unsure, you just need to really pray about your role beside him as a truth teller, as someone that loves him far and wants his good. Yeah. I want my good for Ed Litton. I wanted the good of Rick Ferguson. And so for their good, if a wife is willing, for most wives, if we're willing to confront you with that, we want it for your best interest, even maybe more than our own.
Yeah, yeah. I think sometimes in my relationship with my wife, like, she sometimes is used as an agent of God to, like, rattle my attention back to where it should be on family matters, because I do get really focused on, you know, work and church things and get my energy, you know, all laser pointed at something. And sometimes I'm not able to see the more important matters in the home. And she's devised a few tactics over the years that are, like, really good ways to get to, you know, help me to really hear her. And sometimes we've developed this language. Sometimes we'll say, like, I'll say, if she says something to me and I get what she's trying to say, I can say, okay, that landed. Like, I got that. That one got all the way to me. You know, I received that. It didn't just whiz by me and I didn't hear it like 99% of the things probably that happen. That one really landed. And it's really, I think it has to do with our respect for one another too. We retain respect for one another. We can hear those things more readily and easily. We're maybe more attentive to them. But it's my wife plays an important role. And I know that if you're a church planning husband, and you're not listening to your wife in that same sort of way, there probably needs to be some adjustment in the way you're viewing her.
You know,
I would also go as far as to say that we all need a plurality of voices speaking into our lives. I use this story. It's not flattering for me, but one time my wife and I were in an argument and I was digging my heels and I got to the point where my sin took over and I was just going to win no matter what. And it finally came to the place where she said, okay, I'm going to call the elders. And when she said that, even though I'm the lead pastor, first among equals, I stopped and I repented and I said, you're right, I'm wrong. Because there needed to be an authority in my life. And there was, thank God. I think our ecclesiology matters and we need to have other people speaking into that. So if you don't have somebody that you can trust to go to, because so many times past church planting wives, they don't feel like they can share this with anybody of issues going on in their home or with their husband because it'll taint their view and they'll leave the church or whatever. You got to have those people who aren't impressed with you that you can be honest with, and they'll come in and they'll help before things get too bad.
That's right. You know, something happened probably about 19 years into my marriage with Rick. He was doing a sermon series on creation here in downtown Denver. And that morning he preached on creation. One of the guys in our church, a great leader, had a PhD in physics, and he really was a rocket scientist. He told me Rick got the science right. He got the Bible right. And Sunday night, I forgot all about it. And I said to Rick, you know, oh, I forgot what he told me today. And I said, I told him exactly what the guy had said. You got the science right. You got the Bible right. And Rick looked at me and he just said, there's only one person's opinion about my sermons that really matters to me. And you know what? I did not know that at that point, that my thoughts toward his preaching even were more important to him than a rocket scientist, literally, who knew the word of God. And so I just want to say to any wives that may be listening, your input in your husband is valuable, and your words of praise, and even when he needs some support for you in the form of critiquing, he needs those things both.
Man, that's really good, Kathy. Noah, what are a couple of the questions that pastors, church planners can ask their wives or children regularly in terms of keeping the relationship warm and accountability in place that could help them evaluate how well they're doing as pastor dad?
I think there's some simple questions, and I think there's more profound questions. I think one of the simple questions is do you feel loved right now? Mm-hmm. I think my wife, you know, her greatest thing that she needs from me is me to love her. And anytime that we get sideways, the conversation turns into, I don't feel loved right now. And it hurts me because all the things I'm doing, I'm trying to be loving, but I'm giving too much of my attention to other things and not enough valuable attention to her. And that helps me to redirect. The same thing for my kids. Do you feel like you can interrupt me to get what you need in that moment? I think one of the questions I thought about that I think is really profound, and I've said this to Heather a number of times throughout our marriage, is if you believed that I had to choose ministry or you, which one do you think that I would choose? Hmm. Wow. And I think that if your kids are honest, your wife is honest in some seasons of life, they may feel, even though it might not be true, they may feel that you would choose ministry. And if that's the reality, even though it's not true, it's real to them, then there's an opportunity for growth and shifting, at least in your relationship, how you speak, how you interact. And so those kinds of questions, do you feel loved? It doesn't matter if you're loving or not. It's, do they feel it? And if this is the circumstance, this is the situation, what do you think I would choose? And then I think you can ask yourself that question. Right. What would I choose? If I had to walk away right now, would I do it? Mm-hmm. I told Heather recently, I said, I give it all up for you. And she always reminds me, I'm not asking you to do that. I just need you to finish your sermon sooner. That's the kind of thing. But those are really important questions.
Yeah, that's good. Kathy, any thoughts or comments about that?
I think Noah makes a great point there about the communication and opening the doors up for when either kids or your spouse is feeling left behind in the back seat and the front seat of the car's ministry. And so, because there's a spirit of humility when a man does that. There's a spirit of willingness to recognize that I may not see the reality in my own life, so help me to see that. And so a wife, I'm just telling you, wives will be moved by that and appreciate the honesty and the vulnerability of a man to say, is there something I need to do differently here in this home? And I really think Noah and Heather are onto something good in that way. And I think that's a really good, keeping that door open of humility as the leader in the household only reflects Christ, but it's also very beautiful in a marriage.
Yeah. Well, thank you both for having this conversation with me. Most of the church planters and church planting wives and aspiring planters that are listening to this, they got into ministry with good motives. They want to serve people, serve That's Jesus, right. But nobody wants to do it at the cost of their family, their wife, their children. And so these are important reminders for us. And we circle back to subjects like this a lot on the podcast, but it's because it's so important and so many, it becomes such a devastating component of ministry to so many families. So I thank you again so much for being willing to engage in this conversation and be vulnerable about your own households and situations. Before we close up today, I want to mention that we've just finished up. I know we've been talking about it for a long time, and if you listen to the podcast, you're probably sick of hearing about the Church Planting Masterclass. But we have just finished it, and we've released all 80 of the videos associated with the masterclass. They're completely free and they're available on newchurches.com. You can go over there and get what you need. Great church planting leaders, not just from one denomination, but from a whole spectrum across evangelicalism. Trusted voices like Matt Chandler and David Platt and Trillia Newbell and Dahati Lewis. And our two guests today, Kathy Litton and Noah Oldham, are both part of the Church Planting Masterclass. So I want to encourage you to go check it out. It's not just good for you to prepare for church planting, but it's a tool that you can use to help prepare church planting leaders in your own congregation as you seek to fulfill the Great Commission in your work. So again, Kathy, Noah, thank you so much for being part of this conversation today.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.